Just this past Thursday, I was in between Masses at St. Cecilia and St. Margaret St. John's, the other one of three parishes in the pastoral region. We have St. Cecilia and St. Margaret St. John's in Fairfax and in Madisonville. I'm also the pastor of St. Anthony's. And when I was in between Masses of St. Margaret and St. Cecilia, I had about 30 minutes to kill. I thought, well, instead of being on my phone, one of the things I've been wanting to do for quite some time is go to the attic of the St. Margaret Rectory. So I wanted to go up there to that attic. I'm a treasure hunter by heart, and so I wanted to go up there and see what they had. I've been up there previously, but for only about 5 minutes, and found some photos, some neat things. And I have to admit, when you go up to this attic, it's the perfect attic for a treasure hunter, that's for sure. You know, one of the things I think is like it's an engineering marvel is just the trap door to get up there. You pull this thing down, it has this huge pulley system, and three floors of steps come down, and it's got a railing on both sides, and you just go up there, and it kind of greets you, you know, just welcoming you to come up to the attic. And so as I got up in the attic, I was going through, and in it's extremely dirty, black soot, and just really dirty. And as I was going through, I found this box. And the box, you know, typically that kind of box looks like it has wreaths in it, just old wreaths from an old Christmas from a long time ago. And so I opened up the box, and to my surprise, I found these. I should say I found this. So one of 14. So I found these very old Stations of the Cross. Just beautiful. Now, you can't imagine the beauty, really, of these because they're so dirty. My hands are dirty. That's why we have the washing of the hands in Mass. So they're so dirty, and so it'll be amazing. One of the ways you actually clean an oil painting, believe it or not, you would think I'm crazy, is with turpentine. And so you take off the soot, and there are so many figures in here, you can't even see them. But, you know, I brought these paintings, some of these Stations, down to the faithful at St. Margaret, St. John, and I said to them, I found these, and he said, those would be perfect for Lent, for a Lenten display. We ought to do that. And one of the other congregation members says, she said, Lent's next week? You know, and just to let you know, for all you know, Ash Wednesday is this Wednesday, so know that. So services are at 6:45, 8, 9, 12, 10, and 5:30, just to give you a hint. Now, Ash Wednesday, just to let you know, is the second most populated Mass here at St. Cecilia. We have Christmas, it also is number one, but then Ash Wednesday. We have thousands of people that come to Mass here, and for good reason, you know. But to prepare ourselves for Lent itself, we have a closing of ordinary time. And so part of that closing of ordinary time, I ask people to come here at 6:30, and we close the doors to our back altar. John, why don't you do that? He's kind of my Vanna today. Not a very good looking Vanna, but there he is. And so we close these doors for those who haven't seen it. And in many ways, we fast from the beauty of this church. It's kind of hard to fast because it's beautiful all over. But and so we close those altar doors and we open them up at Easter when we sing the Gloria, and we open up those doors, and it's a glorious time for us. But also, we sing the last Alleluia, and we burn the palms, all those palms that we've asked people to bring in since Palm Sunday. They're burned, and we use them for the ashes on Ash Wednesday. And so we prepare for Ash Wednesday, and that we prepare for Lent. Now, on Ash Wednesday, you know, we're marked with ashes. And oftentimes people ask, what does that mean? What does those ashes mean? Well, first of all, when we mark people with ashes, know that it's a sign of the cross, right? And so in baptism itself, and we'll have a baptism later on today, the baby will be marked with the sign of the cross, symbolizing whose they are and what they're called to be. And say they're begotten from Jesus Christ, they come from God, and they're called to walk this life as Christians. You know, I was a nice story of a commentator for ESPN, and it was a great story. And in the story of him, he was just talking about how for 13 years he's been kind of battling, you know, to keep the ashes on or to take them off. Of course, the makeup artist always says, we got to take those off, you know, we got to take them off. But for 13 years, he says, you know what? People say, you know, it's politically incorrect for me to do that, you know. I shouldn't do it. That's what they tell me, you know, that I'm forcing my faith on others. But indeed, you know, keep them on, all right, everybody? I just want to let you know, keep them on, and that's what his priest told him. And so for 13 years, he's been doing his afternoon show for ESPN. Every Ash Wednesday, he's got them on. And he's got them on because to show who he is and where he comes from, he is from God, and he is a Christian, but also it's a sign of humility. It's a sign of humility that indeed, I'm a sinner, you're a sinner, we're sinners, and we're works in progress, and we're in a state of conversion, and we begin this Lent wanting to be converted back into the image of Jesus Christ. We have fallen, as the human race has fallen, we're called to build ourselves back up in Christ. And of course, you know, we're called then to refocus our lives during Lent, you know, because we get lost, don't we? We're sheep. We get lost sometimes, and then we're called to go come back. And our spiritual exercises that we'll be having, that we're called to be a part of, prayer, fasting, and almsgiving, help us to refocus our lives back to Jesus Christ, back to the one we're called to serve, our master who is God, who is Jesus. You know, oftentimes we can make something else our master, something else our God. And I often talk about it. We can make a person a God, you know, that they're going to fulfill us. And this is kind of for those engaged to be married that are here today. You know, oftentimes we think the person that we pick to get married is going to fulfill us. I picked them to fulfill me. Well, that's unfair. That's kind of hard to do. I mean, how are they going to do that, fulfill you? Only God can fulfill a person. Only God can do that. Only through a relationship of Jesus Christ. So we can't make a person a God. We can't make our jobs a God. We can't make things a God, even the things I like, being a treasure hunter. Can't make a hobby a God. It's not going to work. You know, indeed, our master needs to be Jesus Christ. Indeed, the other things won't fulfill us. The readings point this out. Now, the readings point out a few things that might be a little tough on, especially the brides, you know, because it says, do not worry what you're going to wear. Of course you're going to worry about what you're going to wear, and even what you're going to eat and what you're going to drink that day. But that, you know, but what it's talking about really is just some balance, you know. You know, don't, you know, it's hard, you know, especially you wedding couples that are getting married, especially as you've been planning it absorbs you. We understand that. It absorbs your time. You know, it becomes overwhelming, especially as you get closer to the time. But keep a balance, you know, in everything. You know, that's, you know, we all get absorbed in different things in our own lives. And we got to remember who we're called to serve, who is supposed to be first in our lives. It's Jesus Christ, our Lord. You know, indeed, the Lord will, he said in that very first reading, and I think it's important for us to realize that he says, I'll never forget you. You'll always be a part of me. I'm always thinking about you like a lover does. Always thinking about the other person. God is always forgetting, thinking of you, never forgetting about you. Indeed, he wants you to be part of his life. He wants you to keep him first. And indeed, the marital sacrament, as one is married here at St. Cecilia's, you're not only proclaiming your unity with one another. That's called, that God gives you a grace to live out throughout your life, until the end, but also you make a pact with God himself that you will be one with him forever. Indeed, forever is most importantly lived out when you're one with God first. And we pray for these couples today. We'll have a very special blessing right after this homily. We pray for them. Pray for all those married. We pray for ourselves as we enter into the time of Lent. May be truly a work to keep the Lord first in our lives, now and always. Amen. Amen.